This is the Dynamics Duo back in Building 20 in the Monaco studio, having some fun with Dynamics CRM. And today I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Silverlight, which is pretty exciting. Last time we talked about WPF, and WPF is interesting. It does a lot of cool stuff, like we talked about access to local data and resources, access to things like 3D and graphics acceleration. But I can't take that on the web, and so that's why Silverlight is there. And so tell me about it.
So Silverlight has been around for a couple of years only now. So we came up with the version 1 release last year, and version 1 was basic, and it had a good scenario around media and, you know, videos and things like that. But right now we are on beta 2 of Silverlight version 2. And that's pretty interesting because it has a .NET, a compact version of a .NET framework running on the browser that can run anywhere, like in Internet Explorer or Mac or in a variety of places. So you have access to the .NET framework.
So hang on. So this is interesting because WPF is Windows only. It's desktop primarily. You can run it in a browser, but the browser has to be in Windows and has to be IE.
That's correct.
So Silverlight, not only is it web-based, but it'll run in IE. It'll even run in Firefox, I think. It'll run on the Mac. And I think we're going to see a mobile version at some point. That's been announced, so that's coming soon. So you'll be able to write applications that are very portable.
Exactly.
So that's the big thing is WPF is very rich. Silverlight gives you a lot more reach. Is that right?
Okay. That's correct.
Cool.
And again, it's running in the internet, so there's not a lot to install and stuff like that. You know, you write a Silverlight application, your users go to this website, and boom, they get it. So it's that simple.
So it's very lightweight, very easy to get installed, very easy to get onto people's machines. And already, I think, with some of the work that's been going on with Silverlight, the penetration is starting to get there. We've got a long way to go, but it's starting to get there. So let's actually see it in full glory. So hang on now. So we're not in Outlook anymore. Last time we were in Outlook. This time we're in on the website, which makes sense. So you've now logged in. Set me up. What's the scenario here that we're doing? Last time we were talking about a project manager or team lead on a consulting group. Being out on the road and doing time entry. Now what are we talking about?
So now, you know, I'm still David Alexander, and I'm back in the office on a Monday morning. So Monday morning, I got my course going on, and I have a call with my client Contoso in about an hour. So I want to get ready for the call and prepare all the information that I need. And some of this information, we saw it on the SharePoint dashboard demo that we did a while ago. So this time, you know, all of that is past and historical data, but Contoso has asked me whether they can fill in on a new project that's, you know, that's proposed to start in 2 weeks, but I'm really not sure if I have my resources and everything set straight so that, you know, I don't, you know, overbook people and then don't cause any issues and things
so
like that.
So we're looking at resource planning and capacity planning and project planning, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Let me have a look. We talked enough. I'm sure the people watching want to see some real code.
Okay. So again, we have the Graphics Design Institute, the custom module. And as you can see, I have my projects, my work item, and timesheet. And here's this 4CAD dashboard that we have built.
Okay. So you clicked on that. I saw a little loading gear there as it was loading up. Show me what's going on here. So what is running in the background, and what is this thing doing?
So this is a simple iframe page that is running within CRM. And in this iframe page, I have a native grid of all my projects. This is directly coming from CRM.
Okay, so that's just a standard CRM form.
That's correct.
Or a list in this case.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I have a funnel chart that shows me some visibility into my sales pipeline, so I know what's coming down the lane in 3 months or 6 months or whatever, so that I can make some intelligent decisions based upon that.
Okay.
And up on top, we have this gray area, which is the Silverlight control that we've been talking about.
Okay.
That helps me plan my, you know, resources and do forecasting and things like that.
Okay. So I see that it's loaded. When it loaded, it pulled in some information here on the left-hand side. So how did it do that? So hang on. So you, this is Silverlight now. So this is running outside of CRM. So that's actually being loaded locally in my browser in an iframe. And then that Silverlight control has gone and done a web service call and pulled some data in.
That's correct. Right?
And it looks like the data is the users or my team members.
That's correct.
So show me what this does.
So it not just pulled the team members, but it brought some basic information along with it. So let's check on me. So when I check on me, it says, here's all the capacity. Oh, so this transparent tubes is how many hours that I can work on. And it tells me that I'm working on two different projects, and here's the number of hours that I spend on different projects.
So the gray in the back, or the transparent in the background, that's my capacity for that week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how much, how many hours I have available to work. And then the blue is Fourth Coffee website, and the red is Contoso Portal. That's how much time I'm scheduled to work on those projects in that particular week.
That is correct.
Okay.
So I'm looking into about 12 weeks, so next 3 months of my, you know, planning. And, you know, I just checked on me, but I can also check on other people. So when I click on other people, it's starting to pull in their data as well, and then putting the, you know, putting the combined capacity and at the same time the combined allocation. So let me check on the team and pull everybody in. So now we can see that, you know, for the immediate next week, you know, I have my capacity maxed out, and I have, you know, four different people working on Contoso, and, you know, five different people working on different websites and things like that.
Okay, so this very quickly is giving me a heads-up view as to what my capacity looks like, first of all, and which projects are in the pipeline and which ones are being worked on. And it does look like we have some free time.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenario says we're trying to schedule a new project, right?
That's right.
So how would I get that new project on there?
So let me click on this unallocated, and what it does is it gives me the projects that have not been allocated resources.
Oh.
So as I checked on it, you see that besides Contoso, there's one another project that I haven't allocated resources on. So it is all starting to, you know, lay out into the same graph. So now we can see that, you know, if I were to start the week after, there's no way I could, you know, get it done because I don't have the capacity to do the project.
So you're over capacity, or you're going over the resource. If you actually tried to schedule that project, people would be working overtime, and it would be an expensive thing. Probably you wouldn't get as good quality work done. Your staff would probably all leave. And so you have a problem here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty neat. So very quickly, I've seen some data visualization, similar sort of to what we saw with the WPF app,
mm-hmm.
but in this case, I'm seeing it on the web.
That's correct.
So, okay, I could have done that with Excel, right?
Yeah, so right now it looks like a plain old graph,
right.
You know, other than this transparent tube, so it's good. But the power of Silverlight and the rich internet applications is the action that you can take upon the data. So in this case, I have this little checkbox called Edit. So when I click on it, these two projects that have not been allocated, if you look close enough, they're, you know, they're starting to glow and, you know,
oh, interesting.
So appear different from the rest of the projects.
Radioactive projects going here. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is going on here? So because they're glowing, that means that I can now edit them? How would I edit them? What could I do with those?
It's as simple as, you know, a what-if scenario. What if I start this project instead of September 8th? What if I start a week before?
Oh, so it just drag and drop. So you just grabbed it and pulled it over?
Exactly. So I can grab a block, and then as I can move, it pulls the whole set of projects into, you know, a different kind of scenario. So I can say, you know, if I start 6 weeks later or 10 weeks later, here's how the graph would look.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like Excel, but I can, you know, move one stuff around and, you know.
So not only are you getting data visualization, but you also have interaction with that
mm-hmm.
chart so that you can actually move things around, and it's actually much easier than keying in numbers in a grid and trying to figure out how things will lay out.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, and of course, if I screwed up too much, I can always cancel and start all over again.
Oh, okay.
So let me try to do this for real. So if I put this, it looks okay, and maybe this. Yep,
okay.
There it is.
So you,
yeah.
You had this prepared, didn't you? You got some demo data that just fits.
Yeah.
Okay, so now by moving this around, I now know exactly when I can start. So now I can go tell my client, hey, we have the project, we've scheduled, it'll start on, what is that, September 1st. And so we can get ready, and he has a sense for when he can start. So that's pretty cool. So do I now take note of that and go and key that in?
you can do that if you want to,
I saw the submit button. Okay,
or you can just hit submit, and it's going to go back to the CRM Web Services and make all the changes for you, so you don't have to flip applications, alt tab, and do all of that.
Right. So now I know the resources have been rescheduled, the project's been rescheduled. Now I have to go and actually allocate it to people to actually do the work, because those projects are still unallocated. But at least now we know that they're in a space when they can be projected. That's pretty neat.
Absolutely.
So what's the difference? We did this WPF stuff. It was actually pretty simple. We didn't actually look at the WPF UI, but this is WPF-like. It's XAML code underneath. Mm-hmm. So let's actually look at the code and see how this all sort of comes together.
So here's the Silverlight project that we did. And if you look, you know, just like in a WPF app, you have this XAML, which is an XML representation of the UI.
So what are we looking at the XAML of here?
So
is that the thing up top? What is that, a gauge of some sort?
That's a zoom, I suppose. Let me flip back here. I'm not a designer, so I'll try my best here. But you know, the designers have put in a lot of work to visually represent this. And obviously, you have to look this in expression blend to look at all of the details of the animation and all of the
So a designer would be using expression design to build your assets, expression blend to assemble them into a UI, and then hand that over to the developer who can then insert all the logic, the business logic.
Exactly. So I can wire up events to say what happens when a checkbox happens or when I hit submit, what happens. All of that I can define within my code.
So in this case, this is a web scenario. There's no, I'm not going to unplug you this time like I did on the WPF. So we don't have to worry about going offline or being online. So we're pulling in data. Can we look at the code to pull in the data? I assume it's very similar to what we saw on WPF to pull in that code. And then the submit, I assume, is pretty similar. What are the difference between what you would do on Silverlight versus what you would do on WPF?
It's essentially the same, but in this case, we have something in between. So WPF went directly against CRM's web services. In this case, we have a WCF, which is Windows Communication Framework.
Oh, okay.
We have a web service running in between. So there's Silverlight up here, there's CRM up on the cloud, and we have a service in between that does all the translation back and forth from CRM.
So why did you need to do that? Why couldn't you just go straight to the CRM service?
Right now, Silverlight 2 is still in beta, and it only supports a limited set of web services, like basic ones that, you know, RESTful services that you want to use. But CRM has this advanced functionality, so we have a bridge in between that takes all the data, the complex data from CRM, and feeds only the necessary data back to the Silverlight control.
Okay, so can we look at that, what that was doing, and how it's doing that sort of bridging between those two different services?
Absolutely. So in our WPF or in our Word or Visto examples, we directly refer to the CRM service, which is up in the cloud. In this case, what we are looking at is we are looking at a local CRM reference. So I'm referring to my CRM web service, which is actually running locally.
So Moss is the machine name.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So all I'm looking at is this WCF service that is, you know, running close to the Silverlight control, and you know, and all I say is, you know, get me data about consultants, get me capacity and things like that. And then if you switch over to the CRM web service, this is talking to the CRM online system and getting all of that information, like my allocation and my capacity and about the projects and all of that. And then, you know, bring it as a simple collection that will feed back to the Silverlight control.
So the Silverlight control is talking to the WCF in a language that Silverlight can speak. Mm-hmm. And then WCF is going to the CRM service in the language that is required on that side.
That's
pretty neat. Okay. And then other than that, I guess the service itself doesn't really have to do anything except take from one, pass it to the other, and sort of act as a sort of a router almost.
Exactly, and that's its job. It's a service, so that's what it's good at. So.
And so that's running on the local machine, on the same machine as the Silverlight control, I would imagine, on the server somewhere. Mm-hmm. The Silverlight control is running locally in my browser and then talking to this machine, which goes off.
So the Silverlight control is hosted in the server, but as soon as you hit the website, it downloads and it runs on your local machine, on your hardware. That's correct.
Okay, that's pretty neat. So this sounds like the same set of skills that I had on the WPF side, I could apply on the Silverlight side from a design perspective. We had to do a little bit of jury rigging to get the Silverlight control to talk to CRM. Mm-hmm. Is that something you're going to post on? It sounds like something other people would probably find pretty useful.
Absolutely. I can post up a simple code example that walks you through how it is that you take from the, you know, the data from CRM, put it on a WCF service, and then surface it through a Silverlight control. That's pretty simple to do, and I'll blog about it pretty soon.
So you committed to that, and it's on video. So I think you better get it up there before the video gets up there, or people are going to be pinging you. Okay, well, this is pretty neat. So let's walk through and summarize so that I, for my little brain, I can understand this. So we're talking about, again, WPF, very cool on the desktop side where you have full access to local services. You have that rich environment, the rich UI that you could build, but you also have access to local services, and you have access to things like 3D because you have graphics acceleration on the desktop side. Silverlight, you still have that deep, rich, immersive environment, but now you're on the web, and so it's much more portable. You can take it to Mac, you can take it to mobile when it's available on that side. But you had to do this a little bit of work to get it to work.
So exactly, and more than anything else, Silverlight has this minor version of .NET framework running. So comparing to a web part, web part is just display in a dashboard scenario, but in a Silverlight control, I could take a lot more actions. In this case, we saw how we submitted back to the web service and, pull those data and move those along. All of that is possible because of, the Silverlight.
So you're comparing Silverlight now to a SharePoint web part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the SharePoint web part, everything's running on the server side. It's all ASP.NET.
Exactly.
Silverlight, you're doing a lot more. You have a lot more control on the client side.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I guess if you were comparing it to just pure JavaScript,
mm-hmm.
JavaScript, you're running locally in your browser, but you don't get anywhere near the same performance that you would get from Silverlight, where you're actually running C# .NET compiled code locally.
That is correct.
Okay.
So if you were Silverlight is not a replacement for Ajax or ASP.NET or anything. It's just another easier way to do a lot more rich applications for the web.
Okay, cool. So I think we need to get these videos up online so people can actually
see
this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're done. Good.
Right.
Thanks for all your help on all these videos, Girish.
All right.
And look forward to doing more of them.
Thanks for letting me do this, Ben.
It's a pleasure.
It.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for watching.